This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
All right, so the time has gone 9 minutes past the hour of 10 o'clock. Let's talk about the weather. And I love this South African term, the inclement weather, wet, windy and cold. So scenes of flood-ravaged neighbourhoods have flooded, excuse that terminology, the internet in the last couple of days as we watch the United Arab Emirates and also Oman, two of the country's driest nations, countries born of the desert, being overrun by water, with cars submerged, drowned by the flooding on the streets, highways clogged, and an airport that was described as having water that looks like the beach has come on land. And to that extent, flights were delayed and grounded at Dubai's international airport. There were also some amazing scenes as well in one of the main thoroughways in Dubai, where cars were submerged, but there was a Porsche, and people are saying Porsche must use it as an ad, that literally swam, and I'm using the word swimming, through these high water levels. The water was all the way up to the window of the driver. And he drove that car, or he floated that car through the submerged waters. And finally, when the car got some traction on the tar, he then drove it through the water like some kind of a boat, like an aqueduct. It was, you know, quite a beguiling scene, I've got to say. So what has led to this freakish weather? And a rainfall, we're told, of about 250 millimeters. And so basically, in simple terms, in a matter of one day, Dubai and Oman received the equivalent of 1 year's worth of rainfall in exactly one day. And those water levels within hours had risen to window level in people's homes, like rivers in these incredibly beautiful cities. What's happening there in the Arabian Peninsula? Professor Tafa Dwanashe Mabaudi joins us now. He is a professor of climate change, food systems and health at the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine, but based in South Africa. Good morning.
Good morning, Leah. How are you?
Fine, thank you, sir. Sure. So what exactly were those scenes we were watching in Dubai and Oman?
Well, what we witnessed there is a cut-off low system, a regional weather system that occurred in, you know, over that area, over the Gulf State, resulting in that very heavy rainfall. As you mentioned, more than 238 millimeters of rainfall being received within a 24-hour period, which resulted in the flash flooding that we've witnessed and all the pictures that we've seen. And it's important to note that the forecasters had predicted the system over the region and had indeed warned that, you know, the region should expect some heavy rainfall. Of course, it was much heavier than had been predicted, but it's a regional system that happens there, not every time, but routinely.
Okay, so just tell us a little bit about it, because what we know is the countries of the Gulf, what we call the Arabian Peninsula, are dry desert countries. Dubai 40 years ago was a desert, you know, and today it's this, you know, incredibly modern, gleaming metropolis. But these are essentially countries in the desert. And it's not the first time we're seeing heavy rains in Dubai. I think a month ago we saw heavy rains in Dubai, but also heavy rains in the Royal Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. In Jeddah, there was also a little bit of flash flooding a couple of months ago. So what is happening in the weather systems there?
So, yes, they are indeed deserts, desert countries with less than 100 millimeters annual rainfall on average. But what we must understand about weather systems, same as we have floods in South Africa, is it might not happen every year. It might happen maybe once every 20 years or once every 25 years, that these sort of things do happen. Once every while, there would be heavy rainfall systems caused by natural weather systems, such as this cut-off low system which developed. Of course, happening in a year like this, where we're coming off March being one of the hottest months on record, the amount of energy in the system, in the atmosphere, then, you know, plays an effect in terms of fueling or intensifying the strength of these systems or the storms and creating much more and more intense rainfall.
So, Prof, please help us with a concept. So, because these are traditionally what we call desert countries, right, as we've been talking, for decades, or not decades, let me say for the last decade rather, the UAE, Dubai, the United Arab Emirates, has been working to increase rainfall and boost water supplies by seeding clouds. What is meant by cloud seeding first, before we ask whether it's connected to what's happening now? What is cloud seeding?
So cloud seeding is a technique, as you know, that is decades old, where you've got, you know, small planes that fly up and, you know, release silver iodide into the atmosphere. And this is already where you've got conditions for cloud formation. So it basically just encourages or enhances cloud formation in terms of the condensation and precipitation to then happen. So that's cloud seeding.
Okay, so you send out small planes high up, and then they release a silver iodide. So they go into a place where there's a concentration of cloud anyway, where it looks like there could be a burst. They release iodide so that there is the burst, and then there's the rainfall and heavier droplets.
Oh. Yes.
Okay, so apparently they've been cloud seeding for the last decade or so, and people are wondering, could it have played a part here in releasing too much rain?
There's no evidence to say that cloud seeding had an effect on this. And also, there's nothing, you cannot seed clouds to the extent of the rainfall that occurred in this particular instance. So there's no linkage between cloud seeding and the storm that happened. As I mentioned, the storm that happened was a natural weather system, a cut-off low. They occur around this time, in autumn and in spring for us in the southern hemisphere. The floods and heavy winds that we had in Cape Town just a week ago were also caused by a similar system. The Durban floods in 2022 were caused by a similar system, a cut-off low. So that's the system, the same system again, that is responsible for the current flash flooding that has occurred in the Emirates and the region because of the regional system.
Right. And so also the flash flood, so the rain comes from the sky, heavier droplets of water, but the flooding itself can also be attributed to human error, shall we say that, or the failures of human engineering. And so I want to talk about how the cities are built, that they could not take and drain the water quickly enough.
So I wouldn't call it human error or human failure. We talk about human activities.
Okay.
That, you know, we now have a significant increased built-up area in a lot of this. Dubai has been expanding. It has been growing as a city. So the amount of built-up surface that you have, which then naturally generates runoff. Whereas if you had natural surfaces, grass, or even just a desert, it would mean a lot of water would have naturally drained in the environment. So because now you don't have natural drainage, you've got artificial drainage. Yeah. And obviously, every system that is built by man has design thresholds that it is designed. And in this instance, it was not a lack of drainage and what, it was the capacity of that drainage that was exceeded. Okay. Obviously, when you receive more than 200 millimeters of rainfall within a 24-hour period, it would exceed the capacity of the system to drain. And the extent of built-up area in Dubai naturally would generate a lot of runoff because you've got wide highways, a lot of buildings, skyscrapers, and so forth, all of those collecting rainfall and bringing it into the drainage. So that would have created the flooding that happened. So it's human activities in terms of us building and erecting and encroaching more into the natural environment.
Okay, so to say human error is a poor choice of words, there's nothing wrong with cities expanding and growing, but as you expand and grow, you've got to make sure that you are replenishing from nature where you take it. So to just build a storm drain pipe and say, well, this will do it, is not enough. You need to also create room for Mother Nature, trees and foregrounds to absorb heavy rainfall when it does happen.
Yes, that's correct. We now talk about climate-sensitive spatial planning. You see, you must recognize that the natural environment plays a big role in mitigating a lot of things. Floods, for example, through drainage and diverting water into certain areas, buffering the impact of heavy rainfall events. So as we expand the built-up area, in a lot of areas we are experiencing rapid urbanization and encroaching into these natural environments, changing the land use from natural into built-up areas. So we have to do this in a manner that considers nature and in a manner that enhances nature's capabilities to still play that function. Otherwise, we are going to have more of these sort of disasters. And they become disasters now because you've got people who are now exposed to harm's way and infrastructure that's been just damaged. If it had just happened in a desert, it would have just been a heavy downpour that would have washed off. But because you've got people, infrastructure,
and concrete,
then it becomes,
Okay. I'm going to ask you to explain to us again why it's important to plant trees, why it's important to have green parks and the like in cities. But for now, Marco says, Lerato, my sister lives in Dubai, and she says the rain also seemed, in inverted commas, acidic. Water droplets were releasing steam when they hit the ground. Can you explain that phenomenon, Professor Mabaudi?
It will not be film per se. You know, when water hits the ground with such impact, and you've got a heavy drop of water hitting the ground, that splash that it forms, and considering that Dubai is a very hot area, so the tide surfaces would be very hot. So there'd be that impact, you know, the impact of water hitting the tide surface, which was very hot, and as it disperses, it would almost look like a fume, because there would be a bit of a cloud of vapor. But there's no evidence that has come in to say it was acid rain. There's just normal, well, not normal rainfall. But, you know, it was rain, not acid rain.
Okay. And to that end, I'm just going to digress a bit. I've always been intrigued by how hailstones are formed, because apparently it's a similar sort of phenomenon, is that, you know, we get hailstorms in southern Africa because in the summer it gets so hot. And then suddenly there's that cloud burst in the afternoon. But it was, you know, scorching hot 30 minutes before. And so that rain, when it hits the hot surface, it forms ice. Could you just help us understand that?
So with hail, it is more of low-level condensation that happens. And usually, again, you know, that heat creates the energy in the system. For low, you know, you've got moisture built up, you've got energy in the system, and you've got low-level condensation. And then when it falls, because it's become very heavy, you know, that's when you get hail formation.
Yeah, so I was also made to understand that it's almost like when the water or when that precipitation from the cloud meets the heat in the atmosphere, like you're just seeing steam from a kettle and then you suddenly put that steam in the freezer, just ice. And so again, the hotter the temperatures, the more the propensity of these hail storms, we're told.
Yes.
Mother Nature is fascinating. Okay, so let's talk about adaptation and mitigation. You said how we build our cities is going to matter a lot going forward, and we really need to think about greening the cities. We can have all this property development, all these new estates and apartment blocks coming up, but if we don't add trees, grass, plants, we're going to have problems. Explain why that is.
Well, generally, you know, trees and grass, they reduce the rate of water running off or the speed at which water would run off the surface and encourage what we call drainage or infiltration for the water to get into the soil. So where you clear trees and you clear grasslands and replace them with tarred surfaces, that means that, you know, water cannot penetrate a tarred surface. So you don't have infiltration anymore. You just have runoff.
Mm.
And now you've got a lot of water running off. That's why when we build roads and so forth, we put drainage on the sides of the road so that the water runs off and drains into stormwater drains, which then diverts the water. But that is now man-made infrastructure to divert water, whereas nature does have the capacity to play that. So the more we disturb nature and replace it with the built environment, the more we have less natural capabilities to attenuate or to mitigate or slow down the effects of water running off, encourage infiltration, and you know, reduce flooding and so forth. The more we damage things such as wetlands. Wetlands are natural areas for drainage where water would naturally drain into those wetlands. And in a lot of instances, we've got people moving into wetlands and building there or draining them or converting them and planting or grazing. So these natural drainage areas, nature's drainage pools, are being damaged and they can no longer play that function. So again, water is nowhere to run to.
Okay.
So it then just accumulates and creates those instances of flooding. In many instances, the areas that flood are areas that water would have naturally drained into.
Mm. Mm.
So the water would be moving into those natural drainage areas.
Okay.
But because now we have created built infrastructure in those places, which does not have sufficient capacity to then drain all the water and divert it, you're flooding in those areas.
So we should all kind of, at an individual level, develop green fingers. We should all be planting small little gardens in our backyards just as a small intervention that when it does rain heavily, the soil can absorb that rain as opposed to the water running on the stoop onto the streets, the patio onto the streets, and then creating floods. It would help if we cultivated gardens a little bit more.
Yes, I really like what you're putting forward, that we all have a personal level of responsibility and action that we can take in terms of preserving and conserving the natural environment through actions such as planting trees, areas such as preserving natural environments where we come into them.
Mm-hmm.
Many of us live in rural areas where there's a lot of natural environment, avoiding clearing land, avoiding cutting down trees, avoiding converting natural areas into built areas. All of those activities can help us to support nature to play its role, support nature to recover where it has already been damaged, and also help in restoration and rehabilitation efforts.
Okay, I know you're not a meteorologist. I know you're a climate change and food system specialist, but we're going into Southern Hemisphere winter, so we're going to be expecting less rain. In fact, even no rain at all inland. There'll be a lot of rain in the Western Cape. But what can we do in this, inverted commas, dry season? And are we expecting any rash weather patterns, erratic weather patterns in winter?
We still experiencing a lot of warming. As I said, March was, you know, broke records in terms of being the hottest month on record. So we still have, you know, an El Nino that is phasing out. Predictions are showing that we are likely to have a La Nina emerging from October and so forth. So far, there's an 85% probability of a La Nina emerging.
And what is a La Nina?
Developing. La Nina is the opposite of El Nino. So El Nino, in our side of the continent, El Nino brings dry conditions like what we've seen this previous season and drought and heat. La Nina brings wet conditions.
Okay, so in September we're going to have a wet spring, is what you're saying?
Yeah, so we'd expect a wet spring, we'd expect, you know, above average rainfall and so forth. So we should be prepared, you know, that those areas that are at risk of flooding, if we are having a La Nina, those areas could be a possible risk of flooding due to heavy rainfall in those areas. From an agricultural point of view, farmers can expect a good season agriculturally and should be making preparations to plant ahead of time and possibly recover from the losses and yield penalties that they suffered in this season that has just ended.
Oh, thank you so much, Professor Tafazwanashe Mabaudi, Professor of Climate Change, Food Systems and Health at the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine, helping us understand what's been going on in the Arabian Peninsula, in the United Arab Emirates, which is where you find Dubai and also Oman, a neighboring country. Heavy flooding where these two countries experienced more than 200 millimeters of rain in less than 24 hours. In other words, in one day, they experienced as much rain as what would happen in a year and a half. And that's led to flooding. One, because the capacity of the infrastructure to drain all that rain just doesn't exist. And two, because weather systems in climate change have become more erratic and unpredictable. And he's saying that whilst we are not seeing that kind of crazy weather here, we're going into winter. This is an opportunity to plant trees and gardens to prepare for spring, where we are likely to see heavy winds, heavy rains after winter. So prepare now to mitigate then.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.